This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast and radio program presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Most any contemporary musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of the blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Irvin.
Hi there, my friends. Welcome, and thank you so much, Parker. I'm your host, Jim Irvin, and this is Time Signatures. This week on our program, we are proud to present another quality episode with one of our women of the blues, and as is the case with each of these ladies, our guest has something unique to offer in her music, her own brand of the blues genre known as Avant Soul. What is Avant Soul, you ask? Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to make that my absolute first order of business with our guest and let her fill in the blanks for us. How's that sound? She is a Grammy-nominated artist whose collaboration with a multi-Grammy nominee, producer, guitarist, Charlie Hunter, resulted in the critically acclaimed album entitled When the Levee Breaks, The Music of Memphis Minnie. She received the Blues Blast Magazine Rising Star Award in 2024, received several Blues album accolades in 2023, and she is just rolling along, my friends. Oh yeah, and rumor has it, she has a new album to talk about as well called New Southern Vintage. So let's dispense with the chatter and get her in here, ladies and gentlemen. I give you the queen of Avant Soul, Candace Ivory. Welcome to Time Signatures. How are you?
Welcome. Thank you for welcoming me. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
First things first, Candace, could you please enlighten us? What is Avant Soul? And please take all the time you need to fill in the blanks.
Well, you know, for years, people asked me, you know, what style of music I'm doing. It sounds like this. It sounds like that. And so I really, you know, I always thought that was really interesting. I thought it was interesting that people felt the need to categorize it and figure out like the trick of it, or what am I doing? You know, so I took a lot of time to think about what it is I'm doing. And the best answer I can give you is Avant Soul. And it was interesting because I was telling an interviewer before that my teacher and mentor, Reggie Workman, who is known for mostly playing his bass with John Coltrane, but also he's just a prolific artist and professor, and it was he made a great influence on me. But he was like, I don't know if you want to be thinking about Avant, because that means you're ahead of the curve. That means people aren't quite catching up to you. And I was like, well, it feels that way, Reggie. It feels like I'm a little ahead of the curve. And then, like, you know, a few years later, that trend will catch on, or that'll be something that's interesting. But when I intended it, you know, it's more about soul music, and soul music that studies spirit. What are we battling? What are we facing? Is it ourselves? Is it our soul? So Avant Soul to me is about that quest. And that doesn't mean that I'm going to like stick to one or feel like this is just my thing. So I thought that that title allowed me the freedom to be able to just study what I wanted to study and pursue the things that I'm interested in. But it's always going to be based in soul music, whether it's gospel, blues,
sure,
you know, Latin music, whatever music we're looking at, world music. It's always going to be based in soul if it's going to be good. So that's what I'm interested in.
Well, and you also have to think about this. Blues didn't start out with all these different variations and these different branches of the genre. They all developed over time. So I don't think I see anything wrong with it. I think it's a wonderful opportunity to explore a new branch of that genre, if you will. Now, once you began the process of formulating Avant Soul within yourself, how long did it take for you to begin gaining recognition for it? And where do you feel you are in the process of solidifying your position as a true part of the blues with this?
I mean, at this point, none of this is planned, you know? It's not like I woke up one day and was just kind of like, you know, I'm going to show people the real deal blues. My position in the blues is solidified because I woke up one morning and I was in a blues family, whether I chose to be or not. It was already there. You know, I didn't choose that. Who would choose that? So it's kind of one of those things. I accepted that as who I am and part of my story. And I decided that I didn't want to allow that to limit me and who I am and make people choose for me who I want to be. And my uncle would say to me, my uncle Wilroy Sanders from Memphis of the Fieldstones, he always said, you know, go study jazz. You can understand it. I can't understand that. That's something that you can do. And so go pursue that for yourself if that's what you want to do. And so it was never like a thing where, oh, you need to just play this style of music. We play everything. Everybody's welcome. Anybody who can put an instrument in their hand, up to their lips, you know, stomp their feet, you are welcome to play. Doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your demographic or any of this. You're welcome to play music.
I don't know if you've if you're familiar with Mick Colossa. They call him Mississippi Mick. He likes to profess that his brand of the blues is free range blues. So he covers a little Piedmont, little Memphis, little Chicago, and look. I mean, how many times have you heard people say it? The blues is like a buffet, and you just have a few little dollops of this, that, and the other thing on your plate, but you take what you want, and there's your brand of the blues.
Well, I also think that it's also specific too. People have a way of kind of demoting it musically or making it seem like it's not difficult or it's not specific. It's quite specific and it's very regional and it's very different. And there's rules and there's respects across those regions. I come from certain schools. I follow the rules of those schools. If I break them, I know I'm breaking them. So I'm aware of it. And one of the reasons why this album is called New Southern Vintage, I've spent time a lot of places, but I am inevitably who I am. I come from a school of musicians. They are Southern, the majority of them. Not saying that as I move through life and in my profession that I didn't grow, but there is an innateness in that style, those styles of blues, because it's multiple styles of blues. Not everyone's playing the same, even in the South, even from city to city, from little state border to state border. They're all different. It's all unique to those people. And I respect them all, however their style is. I have multiple styles that I come from. Most of the people who play the styles of blues that I come from are dead. So when I started this quest out to just kind of achieve those sounds, I wanted to recapture this. I didn't realize this would be impossible. So I had to create something new to be okay with the fact that I know how to do some sounds. I know where those styles and genres come from. But playing them with the people I grew up playing with, it's just no longer an option. They're not on the planet. So we got to do something new, or we're gonna be dying. We're gonna be a museum. I don't want to be a museum. I have my own things to say, you know.
Nothing wrong with that at all. All right, with that very important piece of the puzzle in place, I want to step back for just a minute and talk about your journey in music. Where did that all start for you, and at what age?
I've been playing music since as long as I can remember. Since I was able to walk, the first person I walked to just had to learn how to rewalk again. Actually, he went through a series of health issues, and so he had to learn how to walk again. But he's a very, very prolific piano player. And I walked him, and every time I see Michael Moore, he also always brings this up. So it's been really amazing to watch him regain that, knowing that I had to walk to him for my first steps, and mainly because he could play the piano very well. And so I come from a list of musicians in various genres in my family: funk, soul, gospel, and of course I'm a PK. So, and my grandmothers all were, you know, church singers and, you know, piano players and organists. So it was just always a part of my upbringing. I began to perform professionally out at age 14. So it was kind of and I started, my first gigs were on Beale Street. So I literally grew up on this street. It's a very different street today than it was when I was growing up, but
Yes,
It
ma'am.
was cool. I actually was just there last week, retracing steps there with someone interviewing me. And it was just interesting to look back and just see all the things that I took for granted as a kid.
Candace, as you were coming up, talk about your early inspirations as you were getting into the music world.
I mean, for a long time, I actually thought that my family was related to the Jacksons, because the Jacksons is a big deal in my family, extended family. We all love MJ. It's a big deal. And I mean, they're doing the J5 steps at the family reunions, you know. So it was like I would see pictures from concerts in my family photo album, and it's the Jackson family. So I just really, a lot of years felt that way. But growing up, there was always a lot of music. Both my parents are musicians and musical. Like I said, my grandparents were into music. When I finally began to play live, I was already doing fairly big shows, and I was doing, you know, nightclubs, you name it. We played everywhere, frat parties.
Okay.
From walking to the piano to, I guess I played cello in school, I played trumpet, I was in all the bands and things like this, and I was always listening to music. It's just always been a very, very heavy part of my life. So I can't really remember a time, except a very brief period, when I didn't have a lot of music around me.
Nice, nice. Now, by my count, you have 5 albums out there, and I have to talk to you about this Memphis Mini project and the resulting album, When the Levee Breaks, the Memphis Mini, the Music of Memphis Mini. How did this come to be? How did this come about?
It's crazy. I have no idea. On one level, let's think. So I'd been thinking about recording, because I was in the stages of, you know, I would say maybe about 2009, 2010, my uncle in the Fieldstones passed. And so as he passed away, I began doing a little bit of writing, and just wanted to revisit some of the Fieldstones material. And I got with Robert Allen Parker to do that. So we started writing and talking, and nothing came of it. We didn't really make anything happen, but we talked about it. So the stages were there. When I finally did When the Levee Breaks, I had been talking to Aki Kumar. And so Aki was like, I know you kind of want to do this one album, but what about this idea that you have to do for Memphis Mini? Because I was telling him that that was a project that I wanted to get to, but it wasn't a project that I thought I would get to at that time. The reason that it came about at that time was because it was her 50th anniversary of her death. So it was just important to highlight the, you know, who she was at that time. I just realized that. I said, hey, Aki, I've always wanted to do this project, and I just feel like people don't recognize she's the greatest, and we need to say this. Like, we need to give her props. Why is she obscure? So we got, you know, Little Village involved and Charlie Hunter involved, and then at some point we came together and we made this project, and I'm really pleased with the outcome of it. And I have never heard Memphis Minnie's name so much in my life since I made this album. And that is awesome, because that was the point for me.
There you go. Now, speaking of the project, how long did it take from beginning to end, from concept to delivery?
Well, for I would say, and I mean, if this is especially for artists coming out with anything,
sure.
You're going to need to have about a 2-year period of everything. You know, you need to allot that time. So don't commit to things you don't care about. Don't commit to things you can't be passionate about, because you don't know how that timeline could evolve. So you want to be prepared for the commitment in case it doesn't go. For whatever reason, this way she could be heard. And I'm happy about that. And I think that's the idea for me.
As well you should be. Any fun collaborations along the way while you were putting this together?
Been nothing but fun. Like, this has been, especially, you know, when it comes down to like working with all these super talented musicians. I mean, working with Charlie Hunter was so serendipitous, because he is known for, you know, his album with D'Angelo, which was a legendary, groundbreaking album in itself. But D'Angelo is my musical choir director from my childhood. He taught me a lot. In fact, he was a big Michael Jackson fan. I remember when he taught himself, remember the time, because he couldn't wait to come show us. He was like, hey, look, I worked this out on the piano. And I was right there at the other end of the piano watching him work this out. So a lot
That's
of
cool.
fun, and that having that in common with Charlie, also having the fact that Maria Muldaur and Charlie's mom also used to be roommates. So just a lot of kind of cyclical things that happen that seem serendipitous. For my new album, I collaborated a lot with Ben Levin. And on the cover of this album is very special because this is my BMA picture. So from my performance with Bill Ellis and Ben Levin, Bill Ellis has known me since I was about 15 years old. He's one of my first reviewers from when he was the editor at the Commercial Appeal for the music. And so to just see how people have evolved and the growth, and I guess people seeing me from my start to now, it's been really cool. So that cover represents a lot, just as the When the Levee Breaks cover represents a lot, because that is taken at one of my best friend's homes, Tad Pearson, who operates a tour company called American Dream Safari. And so this cover mimics Bonnie Raitt's kind of entry album, like her first album. I wanted to kind of give her a loose nod without duplicating that. But I'm super, super appreciative of Bonnie Raitt purchasing Memphis Minnie's headstone. And I just wanted to thank her for that publicly in my own little way.
You alluded to New Southern Vintage, which is the name of your new album. We're going to talk about that for a bit. 14 power-packed, fun-filled, collaboration-rich tracks. It just happens to feature one of my favorite young blues men on most of them, and that is Ben Levin. Now, I have to ask you, since you've already talked about the album a little bit, what was it like to work with Ben? Because, I mean, this young man is really making a name for himself, both because of his deep talents, but also because he's just incredibly a good person. Yeah?
Absolutely. I definitely like to get... I like to talk about folks, especially when it comes to keeping the blues alive, because Ben does have a Keeping the Blues Alive award. I was with him when he got it, because we performed at the Cincy Blues Society's festival last year. We've been doing a lot of work together. We actually just got through with a European tour and working together on multiple projects. And also in the woodshed, we worked together vocally and on piano to work things out. I wanted to make sure on this project, everybody knows that this is not a Keeping the Blues Alive type project. Everybody on here is masters of their instrument for what they do. They all are here regardless of their age. And that's the point, is that these are people whose work I respect, and they respect my work, and that they are good for the songs, they are good for the project, and they make sense. And working with Ben has been super refreshing, because one, piano blues has been a thing that's been often neglected in the last, however many decades you want to add up, but it's some of my favorite music, and that's a school I come from. Memphis is known for its piano convention. I mean, it's the home of Memphis Slim. I grew up around some of the finest piano players, both in and out of my family. They were just present. And so when I was growing up on Beale Street and off Beale Street, I got to see some amazing musicians. One I worked with pretty often was Mose Vinson. You know, as a teenager, this is, you know, a piano player I'm playing with. And so Ben was refreshing to work with, because it's not just about, oh, let me catch some fame and just be an awesome, you know, youthful person doing this. This is deep blues. This is someone who's studying. This is someone who cares about the people. And this is someone who cares about the work that we're doing here, which is not just preservation, but it's also forward momentum.
I love seeing the cross-generational stuff. I really do.
Well, Jimmy is my mentor. We brought Ben down because we thought Ben would be great for that anniversary, and it was a really magical, special time. Every anniversary time, all time at the Blue Front is pretty special, and especially to be asked to come there is very special. And not many people get asked. Plenty asked, but not many get asked. And he was asked. So I said, yes, I can make sure he comes. And he did. And he's one of my favorite persons to back Jimmy. Jimmy's not an easy person to back, especially if you're not familiar with Bentonia blues. And so many people aren't, you know, it's a very special and specific thing. And you have to work on that.
One of the things that I like about Ben, I don't just mean to keep talking about Ben, but one of the things that I like about him is he reminds me a lot of Bob Courtois out in Phoenix. Bob has worked with many, many of the blues greats through the decades. And every time he comes out with that From the Vaults type album, I absolutely love it. But I see Ben following a similar path. And ironically, he and Ben are good friends. So it just, I think it just stands to reason that this is the type of a path that Ben is on and will probably continue being on.
I think also, I mean, I study with Ben. Ben works with me on voice. So one thing that we talked about is how do you make a unique voice? How do you make your voice your own? So I think that's also, there's also a time where in blues especially, people have to be allowed to step away and be their own artist. And so we have in that cross-generational aspect of the album, we have artists who are great at collaborations, because even Takuto Asano, who is also in Pine Top like Ben was, you know, he's doing soul music. He's also doing, you know, all kinds of R&B and jump blues. I think that but it's original music. And that's the great thing about all these guys is that they're doing their own thing, but they can do it with an informed mind about how they're going to progress with it. And so I feel like in addition to just the reverence of elders and the ancestral respect that we could have, I also think that Ben has plenty to say on his own.
You touched on a really key point that I want to flesh out just a little bit. It's the reverence for the elders. And it's wonderful because I see a lot of that with you folks, with Chris Stone Kingfish, you know, and Buddy Guy, and in so many of the collaborations that have come across, you know, and I always hear Ben when I've talked to him, speaking with such reverence about Pine Top Perkins and, you know, and what a master he was of the piano. And it's wonderful when you not only have the ability to play the instrument, but you understand the history that came before you. And I think that's something that we really need to focus on. And that will allow this generation, your generation and Ben's and the generation after that. I mean, look at young Rel, 18 years old. He's carrying it forward, man. I love seeing this.
Well, the thing about it is he's being a musician. He's hanging out and pursuing his interests as opposed to, you know, simply torch bearing. Not that it's simple, not that it's easy, but it's also necessary for young artists to be able to be themselves. Like, I grew up in a jazz school as well. Very, very creative musicians, very forward-thinking musicians. And what they cannot abide is just simple mimicry. They can't abide, you know, you just kind of duplicating what is seen. But okay, so now we're in blues. But the world that music was created in no longer exists. Now, people like, you know, Rel or Takuto have to find another way to create this story and this narrative in this tradition while being themselves. It's not meant to be pop music. It's not meant to be mainstream. Right. It's for people who have something alternative to say. We don't want to follow that. We don't belong there, you know?
Yes, ma'am. Listen, I want to return to your album. This new album I have been enjoying listening to, and it seems like the more I listen, the more I want to listen, and the more I listen, the more I discover. It's truly an amazing project and definitely solid blues, Candace. Talk about the other blues musicians that you've included on this album. If there's anybody that you've missed, because we've talked about a bunch of them, but if you want to shine the light on a few more, go ahead.
I love everybody on this album. How often do you get to just make an album with so many people you love in one area, even if they're crazy, even if they're wild? Because I got a lot of people on here. I got Damian, Yella, P. Pearson, super talented. That's like, this is like my bro. A lot of times people think they see us together. They think we are family. Well, not that I know of, okay? So we've got Don Hartman on harp, one of my favorite harp players from Switzerland.
Okay.
So we've got Dr. David Evans, who I love. He was really responsible for a lot of my uncle's career success and being seen. He recorded him on High Records, High Water Records. So David, we had Andy Cohen, who is just a blast to have. He's a folklorist and he's so fun. I love his guitar on Shout the Boogie. It's just fun and wild. Their personalities really come through in every aspect of it. So it's like for each song, it's really cool to listen to it. And then you've got, of course, Robert Allen Parker, who wrote with me, fun guitars, amazing songwriting. Antonio Vergara, who was Grammy nominated with the Furies, the mastering engineer, and also played guitar on and lap steel on Let Your Love Light Shine, he's singing with me. So just a lot of fun to have all these stellar musicians on here.
All right, Candace, where can we send people to learn more about you? Because people need to learn more about you. They also need to buy some more copies of this album and other albums from you, maybe some merch. And of course, they need to book you for gigs. So where do they need to go to do all of that?
I'm in the book, Irv. You can find me super easy. You can go to www.candaceivory.com. You can go to newsouthernvintage.com. You can go to nolabluerecords.com, and my Bandcamp's there. So there are multiple ways to purchase the album, get a signed copy, you know, get some cool merch, learn about the other artists on the record as well. There's so many fantastic musicians. I mean, I could go down the list, but I didn't know how much time we had.
Candace Ivory, I want to thank you so much for your time today. It's truly been an honor and a pleasure to have you on. And I'm hoping to see you in or close to Michigan real soon. Safe travels to you and all the best.
I would love it. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Irv.
My pleasure. And that wraps up this edition of Time Signatures. Once again, my thanks to Candace Ivory, but also to you, for without you, none of this would be possible. Jim Irvin reminding you, keeping the blues alive is everyone's responsibility, but preserving the history of the blues, one story at a time, that's my mission. Until next time, so long, everybody.
This has been Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. For more information on CABS, visit capitalareablues.org. You can find this episode and past episodes at lccconnect.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.